Hey, everybody. Welcome to Parenting Impossible, the Special Needs Survival Podcast. I'm your host, Annette Hines, and I'm so happy you're here with us. If you're just joining for the first time, I am a special needs mom, a special needs attorney, and a best-selling author. So please grab your coffee. And if you're like me, you might be listening in your car. I spent a lot of time in the car in my day. And please join us for some important discussions to help you thrive in this complex special needs world. Each week, we're going to chat with parents and experts, and sometimes parents who are experts, to offer compassionate advice for all stages of your life. These are the conversations you would have with your best friend if your best friend was an expert like me. Let's go.
Welcome back, podcast fans. I'm your host, Annette Hines, and this is Parenting Impossible, the Special Needs Survival Podcast. Welcome to 2024. I am super excited to be sort of rejuvenating this podcast and revising it a bit so it continues to meet everybody's needs. Very exciting. I have really gotten such great feedback from all of you over the past year. And as you may remember, I took a hiatus year from extracurricular activities, and even the podcast slowed down a bit towards the end of the year. And my reason for doing that was to get very introspective and deep on what services and supports am I delivering? What makes me sing? What organizations am I excited to be part of and contribute to? I can't spread myself so thin as I have been doing in the last few years. And I need to be more focused on where I can have the best impact and what really brings me joy. So the podcast is on that list, and I absolutely decided that I want to continue this podcast. I love doing it. It's going to take a little bit of a different flavor and a little bit of a different flair. Most of the recordings are going to start out on our Circle of Care. So it would be awesome if you all could join Circle of Care. There's going to be levels. There's a free level that everybody can join, and there will be a number of free resources there and a free community to be part of. Then there will be a very nominal amount for a paid level where we are going to provide these great interviews, topics, webinars, and events, and other information as well. And part of that will be the opportunity to do a Q&A session with the person, the professional that I'm interviewing, and to be able to connect with them and ask your personal questions. Some of the interviews themselves will end up on podcast episodes, but the Q&A will not. So that will be your unique opportunity to join and to be able to, by paying a small fee, have access to all of these professionals. So I'm excited about that. The podcasts for this beginning part of the year are going to be highlighting some of the issues that we face in our community. And I really wanted to talk about the workforce crisis that we're having. What do I mean by workforce crisis? For those of you who don't know or who aren't sure what I'm talking about, direct support professionals, DSPs, are people that we in the disability community rely on in all aspects and phases of everyday life for a person with a disability. Some people connect with those DSPs through a day program or a residential support program. Some people connect with them through home health agencies or through finding them themselves for PCA or personal care attendant services or job coaching. So many different roles that DSPs play in our lives. So many. But most of you will know and appreciate that since the pandemic, the crisis has escalated. Before 2020, we still had difficulty recruiting people into this DSP role because, generally speaking, it's not very well paid. It usually is not full-time. It doesn't usually come with benefits. And there's not a lot of respect, but we're trying to change that. However, after March of 2020, when the whole world shut down, many people left these jobs and did not come back. First of all, wages have increased enormously in other sectors. Inflation is high, so costs of living are very high for people. And especially in expensive cities like Boston and Chicago and Los Angeles, New York, et cetera, it is much more difficult to recruit people into these jobs when they have so many more better paid options available to them. So in the last couple of years, we have really turned up the heat and turned our attention to this workforce crisis. Recently, there was a survey of disability service providers, and it really highlights, thank you to Disability Scoop for writing about this, it really highlights some of the problems that we're having, and I'd love to give you some information from that survey. So they surveyed 581 providers of community-based services to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And nearly all of those providers are facing staffing shortages, just like every person's life, I'm sure, who is listening to this podcast right now. The important thing, though, is what is the impact of that? What is the outcome of these staffing shortages? And because of that, 77% of providers are refusing or no longer accepting referrals. That's three-fourths. Better than three-fourths of the providers that they surveyed are saying that they're not accepting new referrals or they're refusing referrals that are coming in right now. And 44% of those providers, so almost half, have discontinued certain programs and services that they offer. So we are seeing this in our community. The available resources, supports, services, and programs to our people that we care for are shrinking fast, and they're shrinking almost exponentially. I mean, the numbers tell you what's going on. Three quarters of these programs not letting new referrals come in, so their programs shrinking and who they offer services to. And half of them, nearly half of them, have discontinued certain services and programs. 60% of them say that they're considering closing more programs and services that they offer. So now we're getting to way more than 50% of services and supports that we used to have prior to the pandemic are now not available to us. The survey was done by ANCOR. I don't know if you know ANCOR, but it's the American Network of Community Options and Resources, and they do a lot of great work in pulling together research and bringing the information directly to us. The survey was done over a four-week period that started in September 2023. So it is very recent. This is not like information that you get from the federal government or the CDC, et cetera, where you may be looking back 2 years to when they were able to compile the survey. What is this telling us? Well, trends that have persisted in recent years, as Disability Scoop writes, in our industry are that programs in the industry have struggled to attract people to low-paid and difficult direct support professional positions. While there are less demanding options available to them in retail and fast food and restaurants, et cetera, they have higher wages in those opportunities and potential for better hours, better working conditions, better benefits, and so on. Don't forget that some of our people are really, really hard to care for. They just are. And there's a huge burnout factor here as well. Providers wanted to offer better compensation in order to attract more DSPs and also retain the ones that they already have. But decades of underinvestment in the Medicaid program has left them powerless to raise wages to a competitive level without reducing services and shuttering programs at the same time. And this quote is from Barbara Merrill, who's the CEO of ANCOR. Community service providers simply can't support people if they lack the qualified staff to do so. So hence, you are seeing this whole shrinking of services, supports, and programs as they try to buckle down with the people that they do have. Among people with developmental disabilities who are able to access services, ANCOR found that pressures on the industry are forcing individuals to live farther from their communities, which puts them at greater risk of hospitalization and institutionalization, not to mention the fact that it takes them away from their families, right? Even with this, they are stressing that this situation could be even more dire than we acknowledge. Providers are currently leaning on significant extra federal funding. I don't know if you know that, from the American Rescue Plan, which was a $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package that got passed in 2021. The federal government has distributed $37 billion, yes, billion dollars to states for Medicaid, home, and community-based services under this law. And most of that is going towards staffing, retaining, expanding, and training direct care workers. But all of this money must be used by March of 2025. So it is going away. The wind down of this temporary relief funding could prove devastating for a community that is already decimated. And this is a real threat to our people. So ANCOR thinks that immediate legislation is needed to stabilize the DSP workforce, ensure home and community-based services remain stable and sustainable and available to people with IDD. And to guarantee, this is so important, to guarantee the right of people with disabilities to live in fully inclusive communities. Because we are going to see people who, as their only option, they're going to be moving to institutional care, because Medicaid will and can pay for that. The services and supports in the community are based on funding levels. If you go to a nursing home, then you are provided that if you clinically need that service, regardless of how expensive it is and whether the Medicaid program has enough money to pay for it. If you need the service, they must pay. So there's a really different perspective there. And again, we call this institutional bias. You may have heard me talk about this over and over and over again on this podcast. It's easier to get funding if you move into a nursing home or an institutional setting than it is to get supports and services at home. So this is a real threat to our autonomy and our choice. And we're going to see a lot more people moving back to institutional settings and to really not have choices and options. It's going to get down to the most basic safety needs, safety and healthcare needs. And those institutional settings are not prepared for our community to come banging on their door. Trust me, they're going to end up with the same problems that we have. So I wanted to mention one more thing in my update to all of you that's pandemic related, and that's that SSI, through a settlement of a court case, will be sending millions of dollars to SSI beneficiaries who have been wrongfully cut off from their benefits. In addition to that, they will be addressing overpayments as well. I have multiple people who have had overpayment issues these last couple of years. So this is a welcome change of pace with Social Security. More than 2 million SSI recipients, including many with disabilities, had their benefits reduced or discontinued during the pandemic. And so they are going to see some relief under this new settlement. SSA has agreed to automatically waive many overpayments that occurred between March and September of 2020, and the agency will refund individuals as appropriate if they have already repaid the funds. But there's also remedies available for those who had benefit overpayments as recently as April of 2023. And again, I have people that fall into that category. This is part of a nationwide settlement that was reached late last year to resolve a 2021 federal lawsuit that accused SSA, of wrongly slashing or cutting off SSI benefits during the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you to those who started this class action lawsuit called Campos v. Kijakazi. Oh God, I can't say that. It's Kijakazi, which alleged that beneficiaries were penalized after they were unable to provide information to Social Security or challenge the agency's decisions because the agency stopped processing certain paperwork and closed its field offices for more than 2 years during the pandemic. People did not have access, were not able to appeal their decisions, and were not able to provide the documentation, basically, that they needed to fight these things. They made it ridiculously hard. Let's just put it that way. So the suit involved a woman who was found ineligible for SSI because the agency incorrectly counted money she received for an adopted child with disabilities, and another plaintiff saw her eligibility impacted after health concerns and stay-at-home orders left her unable to withdraw funds from her bank accounts. Thank you to Arnold and Porter, a law firm, a nationwide law firm, and the New York Legal Assistance Group and Justice in Aging for bringing this suit on behalf of 5 SSI beneficiaries and making it a class action. This should have been done in the first place. It should not have gotten this far. Nearly 250,000 SSI recipients are expected to have benefits credited back to their accounts automatically under this agreement. And SSA is supposed to issue internal guidance by late February, clarifying the COVID-19 related circumstances that should be considered when faulting beneficiaries for overpayments that occurred between March 2020 and April 2023. So if you are in this circumstance, please find a supportive advocate to help you if you need that in figuring out what to do about your overpayment or your lost benefits. The agency is supposed to mail a notice by the spring of 2025. Yes, it takes them that long. To SSI recipients assessed an overpayment between March 2020 and April 2023 with information about how to request a waiver and what COVID-19 related factors may be relevant. And this is expected to benefit another 2 million SSI recipients. Woohoo! So excited. Okay, guys, that is the update and the conversation I wanted to have about direct service providers or direct support workers. It is really important that we all get on this bandwagon and help solve this crisis that we are having. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I just wanted to take a second to say how much I appreciate you taking the time to listen to these podcasts. I'm having a blast doing them, and I hope that you're finding the content to be what you were really hoping. If you are, please take a second to leave a rating and a review. It's so helpful in getting this content out to people who really need to hear it. Thank you so much.